From Virginia Farm Bureau, this is Cattle Pulse, your monthly update on the Virginia feeder cattle markets, the national trends that affect them, and stories of cattle producers from around the Commonwealth. I'm Elijah Griles, and from Appalachia to the Eastern Shore, we are happy to have you with us. Hello and welcome to the August episode of Cattle Pulse. Thanks so much for joining us. In this month's episode, we are going to be talking about the cattle on feed numbers, which do remain high, look at whether or not we are seeing signs of expansion, talk a little bit about the drought that continues to bear down in the western part of the state, as well as do an interview with Jake Tabor from here at Virginia Farm Bureau to discuss the new Virginia Verified Meat Program. To get started, though, we're going to unpack those feeder cattle futures contract numbers. Looking at the August contract, it is currently trading at $253.45 a hundredweight, down 1.93% from a month ago. The September contract is at $251.93 a hundredweight, down 2.68% from a month ago. And our October contract is at $250.95 a hundredweight, down 2.03% from a month ago. These feeder cattle futures contracts numbers are indicating a correction as we move into the new month. Let's look at the July cattle on feed report to help unpack what factors are at play to help understand this correction more. First off, the cattle on feed report indicated that there were 11.3 million head on feed as of July 1st, 2024. This is 0.5% above year-ago levels, and it's 2.4% below June of 2024, so just a month prior. It's interesting that our July 2024 numbers are higher than last year, given the reduction in the size of this year's calf crop. But I think what's important for us to remember is that we have cheap feed and we have higher slaughter weights. Slaughter weights in July are up 2.8% over year-ago levels to 1,382 pounds, and our corn prices are down 31.3% from year-ago levels to an average of $4.16 a bushel in the Midwest. So what that means is that feedlot operators are incentivized to keep these cattle on feed longer, and so we're not seeing the number of marketings moving these cattle off feed and reducing some of our supply like we would expect to, hence giving us a level that's above year-ago levels. The reducing summer trend is normal as the number of cattle on feed peaks in the winter and then reaches its lowest level in August and September. So we are expecting this to continue to kind of peter off, but I just don't think it's going to happen as quickly. Placements in June totaled 1.56 million head, which was 7% below 2023, and marketings for June were 1.79 million head, 9% below year-ago levels. So we've got a lot less cattle being put on feed, but we also don't have as many cattle being marketed in the month of June. Now, this is contrasted with our placements in May of 2024, which were 4% higher year over year. So if we look at feedlot placements for the first 6 months in 2024, though, they are 3.2% lower than the first 6 months of 2023. So even though our month-to-month levels are kind of confusing with May being 4% higher than year-ago levels and June being 7% lower, ultimately, for the first 6 months of 2024, we are seeing that lower number, and that kind of helps tell the story of the feeder cattle supply a bit better. July's cattle on feed report also contained quarterly data for steers and heifers on feed, which is of particular importance due to the fact that there is not a cattle inventory report this July because USDA National Ag Statistics Service canceled that report. So our quarter two 2024 heifers on feed was at 39.6%. And this is actually an increase from quarter one, which was at 38.6% and is similar to last year's 39.8%. This is a clear sign that expansion is not happening, as we would need to see numbers in the mid to low 30th percentiles to have indications of expansion. Now let's loop back around and talk about those feeder cattle futures contracts numbers. I think part of what's going on here is we've seen our boxed beef cutout numbers falling over the past couple of weeks. And that's going to put pressure on packers to try to wait it out longer before they purchased fed cattle. And that's going to trickle down and put downward pressure on our feeder cattle futures contracts because marketings are not going to move as quickly as we would expect. Let's move on to our weather and climate outlook. Looking at the drought monitor, drought conditions have improved slightly from recent rains. I know there's been no reprieve in the Shenandoah Valley in northern regions of the state. That 11.45% of the state is still in extreme drought, which is that D3 level. Producers are feeding hay that they cut earlier this year, and I know that is just very challenging. 16.01% of the state is in severe drought, down 7% from a week ago. 25.72% of the state is in moderate drought, including much of Southwest and Central Virginia, and a portion of the Eastern Shore. And 25.4% of the state, stretching from the southernmost portion of southwestern Virginia to eastern central Virginia, is still abnormally dry, while 21.41% of the state, comprised mostly of that southeastern Virginia region, is actually drought-free and not abnormally dry. Lots of challenging hayland and pasture conditions out there. Looking ahead to August at that NOAA Climate Prediction Center outlook, their expectations for temperature are that we have a 60 to 70% chance of above average temperatures, except for a 50 to 60% chance in the far southwestern part of the state. For precipitation, they are looking at a 33 to 40% chance of above average precipitation for the eastern two-thirds of the state, with equal chances in the western and southwestern part of the state. And that equal chances just means it could be above or below average. Maybe a little bit of redeeming news, and perhaps this is grasping at straws, is that August is historically the wettest month here in Virginia. So that increases maybe a little bit of our chance for seeing some improvement. It's time to switch over now to our interview with Jake Tabor on the Virginia Verified Meat Program. Tell us a little bit about what you do and also your background as a cattle producer.
Yeah, appreciate it, Elijah. I'm glad to be here. And so I started with Farm Bureau in January as a legislative specialist right before the General Assembly session. So I'm a lobbyist, and my portfolio of issues are I handle all of our animal and plant-based commodity issues, wildlife, and water. And me and my dad and two brothers operate a commercial cow-calf operation in Pulaski, Giles, and Carroll counties. I've always been involved in the policy area and was on the Cattlemen's Policy Council and was on my local County Farm Bureau board for the past few years before jumping over to working for Farm Bureau as a staff member. So I really enjoyed being here so far and working in this space.
Great. Well, we're certainly excited to have you working with our members and working on different issues pertaining to the cattle industry. Now, we're talking about the Virginia Verified Meat Program, and just kind of talk about how that became an idea and where we're at now.
So this legislation, an idea was brought up and championed by the Virginia Cattlemen's Association, and it's modeled after Oklahoma Certified Beef. Was really kind of the first program in this space across the country. And so Virginia is the second to model something like this. And we opened it up to include all species of meat production so that we didn't piecemeal this thing together over, you know, every year be adding a different species. So the program will include cattle, swine, sheep, and goats. And it was passed unanimously by the General Assembly in both chambers and signed by Governor Youngkin, and was effective starting July 1st, 2024 of this year. VDACS is working out the mechanics of the program, and really there's the fundamentals are this is going to pertain to meat that was born, bred, raised, and processed in Virginia. Which is the components of the program. So there are no other barriers to entry for participants. to get this label. VDAX is going to be, this is going to be a public-private partnership between industry association groups and VDAX. And VDAX is going to be responsible for developing the label and mechanics of the program over the next few months. And there will be a waiver for meat that, due to producer location, needs to be processed across state lines. And those processing standards will have to meet our standards in Virginia for processing. But we know some folks, due to where their farm is located, it's not reasonable or attainable to get their meat processed at a Virginia location. So there is a carve out for that. But over the next few months, VDAX should be finalizing the label and the mechanics of this to be able to start promoting it to producers across Virginia.
So it sounds like this is really pertaining to producers who are looking for that direct to consumer market and trying to take their animals, get them processed, and then market them directly to consumers.
Yes. So really there's over the past few years have been a growing trend, especially post COVID, for consumers who want local meat and want to know where it's produced and where it comes from. And, you know, currently there's not a definition of local by VDAX or USDA. And so a program like this, which is industry driven and led by the industry associations, is giving consumers an idea of where their meat is coming from, where it was produced and where it was born and raised. And on the producer side, there's been a trend as well to be able to capture more of the margin on the animals that they're raising and vertically integrate their operations to be able to meet the growing demand for selling local products and local meat. And so this should be able to help them to market their products that consumers know was born, bred, raised, and processed in Virginia. And it also helps our restaurants, school systems, and other businesses that want to sell local products and promote local products to be able to say with certainty that we know this meat comes from Virginia. This program is going to operate on an affidavit system with buy-in from the industry groups through a system of third-party verification and folks that are going to verify these products. So it's a completely voluntary process on the behalf of the producer and, you know, with buy-in and leadership from the industry associations. Virginia Grown has been a VDAX program to market Virginia products, and it has done a great job in doing so. But the industry associations felt like there was a need for a public-private partnership with respect to the meat industry for a little more verification, and hopefully with the marketing and buy-in from the industry associations will lead to more producer engagement and involvement and continue to increase the amount of local products that we're selling.
Excellent. So it sounds like right now the program is kind of just getting off the ground, but once the steps are more put in place along with the different industry associations for the different meat species groups, then there'll kind of be a process for each different species as to how a producer who might be listening to this says, hey, you know, this is something I'm interested in. I need to reach out to like this VDAX contact or this Virginia Cattlemen's contact, et cetera, in order to get started. Is that kind of what the roadmap from here out is going to look like?
Yeah. So once VDAX finalizes the label and the third party folks that are going to verify these products and works with processors, so at the end of production, they know that this meat is certified to have the Virginia verified label, then, you know, producers, and we expect that to be a fairly simple process that'll be ironed out over the next few months, that, you know, once those things are in place and in partnership with their industry associations and probably Cooperative Extension and of course, VDAX, you know, there'll be a lot of effort and marketing to make folks aware of how they can be involved in this program, how they can get, you know, that label on their products that they want to sell at a farmer's market or to a school system or direct to consumer, however that may be.
Great. Well, we certainly look forward to hearing more and being able to share it with our listeners, as well as helping connect Virginia farmers' great beef to Virginia consumers. That's all the time we have for today, but thanks so much for joining us, Jake.
Thank you, Elijah.
Last but not least, it's time to look at our average auction prices from this past month. Abingdon Tri-State was at $267.10 a hundredweight, down 4.82%. Blackstone was at $277.30 a hundredweight, down 6.09%. Lynchburg was at $280.90 a hundredweight, down 5.06%. And Radiant was at $296.60 a hundredweight, down 2.19%. Shenandoah Valley came in at $298.80 a hundredweight, down 4.23%, and Winchester was at $293.30 a hundredweight, down 6.08%. That gave us a six-market statewide average of $285.60 a hundredweight, down 4.74% from a month ago. So although we've seen these prices moderate a little bit throughout July, I do just want to remind us that July is one of our historically lower months during the summer for these feeder cattle prices, especially for these five weight steers. So we're expecting some momentum moving into August that we typically see. One thing to keep an eye on is how does drought in the cattle producing regions of the state affect prices? Is it going to force people to market cattle earlier? Is that going to give us a bigger dip as we move later into the fall because there aren't as many cattle available? Or is demand going to stay high and actually see prices increase due to the reduction of feeder cattle available because of them being marketed earlier due to drought? So a lot to unpack there, a lot we're going to keep our pulse on for you here on Cattle Pulse. Thanks so much for joining us, though. If you do want to talk to Jake Tabor, you can reach out to him at jake.tabor@vafb.com. Thank you so much for joining us on this month's episode. That's all the time we have. But until next month, take care.